I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, CJMQ 88.9 FM. And today we have a special guest in the booth. We have Melina Correll, and she has a very interesting project. It's called Remapping and Deconstructing Canada. So welcome, Melina. So tell us about your project. It's very interesting.
So my project started off, I'm at Bishop's University, and the first year I got in to town, I started looking at how beautiful nature was and everything around Lennoxville and Sherbrooke area, and I wanted to start doing art projects around that and about exploring the nature and connecting that with fine arts. So my project will be a walk across Canada, solo trek walk across Canada, where I'm going to be doing a 3 months minimum. It's probably going to turn out being a 4 months walk. And I will be starting off in Nova Scotia, Cape Breton, and walking, hoping to reach BC, Vancouver.
Wow, that's a long walk.
Yes, it is. It's a long walk, but then at the same time, a little bit of walk every day actually gets you very far.
It does.
When I was younger, I went to Spain and did the Camino de Santiago, which is a pilgrimage walk, but okay. I did it to go see art around Spain and France. And it's crazy the amount of kilometers that you can actually do by walking. You don't actually realize it, but it does take a lot longer than just taking the car to go somewhere. But you can really get some kilometers in if you just keep going every single day. And it's also a bit of training, but mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of training, I would imagine. Okay, so how did you come up with the idea for this project?
I'm not exactly sure. I think it's multiple ideas that came up together. The fact that I love going hiking and just love the nature. And I think I'm not the only one. I think many Canadians appreciate, mm-hmm. you know, their environment. While I was at Bishop, I started becoming interested in arts that were not necessarily conventional, more about ideas and research. And I was looking into youth today and how we've become very comfortable in... We were brought up in a very comfortable place in Canada. Mm-hmm. You have a roof above your head, you have food in the plate, but it's more than just that. We're used to such like comfort levels that I find like the minute a little bit less makes you a bit unhappy. And there's more ideas to it, but in the end, I wanted to do a thing that I would see if I brought my comfort levels down to a certain degree. Would it make my life easier eventually when, you know, mm-hmm. It would make it easier for me to be happy or less depressed or whatever you want to say. So last year I was actually camping for the entire spring and summer until September. And while attending spring school at Bishop's University, I was just camping without a house and just going exploring the woods and then coming back during the day for my classes. And
okay.
It was very interesting. So I think that was one project I did last year, which kind of brought up to this project where I was also researching people that had walked Canada and seeing long period of journey, how it affects your body, but also mentally and physically mm-hmm. affects you, mm-hmm. and depending on the hardship of the walk. So I was really interested in that, and also maps and how you can map things so differently. And there's a lot of artists that use maps for to create their project, to show information in different ways. So I was very interested in seeing how can I connect all these different things that I mm-hmm. like together. And then I had already thought in the past, I had a dream. It always starts off like this. I always get dreams of something like when I sleep and wake up the next day, I'm like, ooh, I should do that actually. So I had a dream where I was walking across Canada and came across a bear or something like this. And I thought it was very neat. And
okay.
Let's hope I don't cross too many bears, but
okay, yeah. So you've had a little bit of a challenge. Like camping while you were going to Bishop's around the vicinity here, and you didn't have any troubles?
No, I didn't have any troubles, and it was interesting seeing people's reaction to it. I think I didn't want to tell anyone, but then I mm-hmm. think the word got spread out around okay. bishops. A lot of students knew because they would come up to me and be like, oh, you're the girl camping, aren't you? And mm-hmm. would ask me about it. And it was just interesting seeing people's reaction. Some people thought it was very neat. Other people would say, but why would you do that when mm-hmm. it's like really uncomfortable? Because I was sleeping with not very many layers and trying to have the minimum possible okay. mm-hmm. and living off the strict minimum kind of thing while going to school and making my life a bit harder. And it turns out that in the end, I think when things are harder, it also makes things easier afterwards.
Okay.
And you start appreciating little things a little bit more. But so, and then other people's reaction was pretty bad. It was... it brought up a bit the idea of where women stand today, because a lot of people's reaction would say, but you're a girl. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so what if I'm a girl? You didn't go out camping and you're a boy. So mm-hmm. what difference does it make? So it's kind of interesting looking at it through social, mm-hmm. like exactly. the spheres. Yes.
Okay, so maybe part of the idea, did you look back on your ancestors, how they live, or people in the third world, something like that?
I wasn't exactly doing research in that, but I have okay. to say it was interested me looking back at how people lived off the land.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done that much research into that. But I think by doing this trip, I will eventually, when I go to Emily Carr, go mm-hmm. more into details about okay. living off the land.
Okay, so you're an artist and you're kind of making a new movement in the field of art, you said too.
I don't think I'm making a new movement, but it's not a very common. There's not many artists doing art that cannot sell,
mm-hmm.
but there are some. And some are doing quite well, and well, there's not that many. And it, like, because it's not sold, obviously, not as many people know of this type of art. But it is art altogether, but just different way of seeing it.
Okay. And I was reading something about how social media has affected people. And
I find it interesting because that's another thing. I kind of, how I do my art is I put myself in certain situations mm-hmm. and see how if it affects me. So it's nearly, I am the actual art piece that I'm putting in harsh situations or different type of things and trying things out. It's a bit like putting myself in an experiment
okay.
and then seeing how I react to it, but also how other people from the outside sphere reacts to it too. And I had, I got rid of a phone, so I do not have a phone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been nearly a year now. And it's quite interesting not having a phone and seeing how people react to that and how it makes some things in your life easier and other things a bit more complex. And from there, by having done that, you have to go find internet somewhere else than just your phone. And a lot of my generation, many, well, in this economical background, I would say, have phones like intelligent phones,
right.
smartphones, mm-hmm. which makes them always on the cell phone. And I find it changes the way we react to the world, because if a kid goes to play on his smartphone,
mm-hmm.
he's inside, he's protected. Like, unless he hurts his fingers by typing too much, I don't mm-hmm. think he's going to fall down.
Right.
Whereas the kid who goes and plays bicycle in the street or play ball, he has a bigger chance of getting hurt. And the less you get hurt, the more you're scared of getting hurt. So mm-hmm. therefore, it's kind of like a vicious cycle where mm-hmm. you get stuck into this ease of having fun while not getting hurt. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I think it really has changed and shaped the way we interact to nature, but also interact to the world. And even for older people, it's like looking at us, it's like reading a book about hiking instead of going hiking.
Mm-hmm.
You can get all this information online, and it's only like you know all these information, but you don't actually know it because you don't actually put yourself in the situation,
right,
rather.
Right.
So I don't know, it's interesting to look at.
It is interesting. So how did it change you just camping outside for that spring?
I'm not too sure, but I think it makes you more appreciative of the very little things. Like now I remember last spring at one point it was raining for I think about 4 days, and the week before I even woke up and there was snow in my tent and it was very cold, and I started having allergic reactions to certain things in the woods, which was interesting because I always knew I had pollen allergies, but like being in the actual woods, it spread a lot more.
Okay.
And it was just affecting me very differently. And then one night it was getting very late, and finally my friend was just like, oh, just crash on the floor, you know, it's gonna be fine. So I ended up sleeping on a friend's couch, and it was crazy because I remember always thinking how uncomfortable that couch was, and I did not even complain. It was like heaven. It was the most comfortable thing I had been on, and how warm it was, and how I didn't have to wake up in the middle of the night because it was cold outside or something, or you know. And there was something really interesting about that. It just makes you very
you appreciate the small things, the things we take for granted.
Yes, and then
right?
then you also start questioning other things about life and how people perceive things. And I'm very interested in mostly like how people react to things, and nearly social anthropology. And it's just very interesting because when you put yourself in such extreme situations, you start understanding things differently, but also questioning new ideas. And from there, you get new ideas for new projects like this walk across Canada.
Okay. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM. We're talking with Melina Carell today. She's talking about remapping and deconstructing Canada. That's her project. Now, you're going to walk from Nova Scotia to BC. It's going to take you a minimum of 3 months, probably 4 months. And from what you've researched on the internet, there's been no woman alone. There's couples, but you're probably maybe going to be the first woman to do this.
Yes, well, we'll see about that, but that's my project so far to begin with. We'll see where it takes me. As for being the first woman across Canada, I'm sure other women in the past have done it, but just hasn't gotten the credibility online or, you know.
Okay.
But, it's going to be interesting, and it's probably going to take more than 3 months. Well, it has to take more than 3 months from calculations, but I will for sure probably do 4 months.
Okay, this is a huge project, and I know you spent a lot of hours just researching this project, how to do it, different routes, maps, and everything. How do you get in shape, too?
So, you don't really get in shape. You just, normally, you have to train for also your backpack is going to be weight. So, it's not just about going walking every day and certain distance, but it's mentally and physically getting ready for the trip. Because, one part of it is the physical, but I have to say from doing other long journey trips, walking and hiking, the hardest part is mentally because you're away from so many people. You're away from what you're used to, and you put yourself in a situation that you're not exactly sure what's going to happen. So maybe, who knows, it might be raining for 2 weeks straight when it rains with the wind straight in your face, and it just different complexities that occur along the path that you cannot predict. And you can train all you want, but the real challenge comes when you're actually doing the trip and actually doing these things every single day for months after months. And the hardest part is the mental part, because you have to tell yourself to keep going, and at one point you're like, why am I doing this project? And you kind of forget what was your original start, because you are putting yourself in a challenge. It's a bit like running a marathon, and you have to keep going and pacing yourself, you know?
So how many hours a day do you plan to walk?
I'm planning to be walking for 5 hours a day minimum.
Okay.
Yes, but it's no rush. It's taking it easy. And
that's not bad, actually. I thought you were going to given a larger number than
that. But I actually walk quite fast, I have to say. Last time when I did Compostelle, I could sometimes walk double the amount of what people would walk in the same amount of time. But it's sure that what you have to make sure that you're not going to do is it's really easy to get in the thing that oh, I can walk a lot faster. Mm-hmm. So you walk more and more. Mm-hmm. And then after a week, you're exhausted just because you've really exhausted yourself. So you have to start off easier, slower, and then build it up as you get more comfortable with it. But then also it's going to be interesting because there's some areas of Canada that are very flat, mm-hmm. which will make it a lot easier. And per day, I'll be able to walk a lot more. Mm-hmm. And then there's some areas that are a lot more mountainy or more challenging mm-hmm. to go mm-hmm. with obstacles around them. And in those scenarios, you might be walking for a lot more hours and yet get only half the kilometer in for
exactly.
that day.
Exactly. Just the mapping is challenging now. How are you going to do it in small towns or highways? Or
so I'm going to completely avoid huge cities. Mm-hmm. Well, except Vancouver and, like, you know, the end, fine. Mm-hmm. But I will not be passing through Montreal or Toronto. Mm-hmm. I will try to avoid those cities. But I will be passing through smaller towns. I will also be using some of the Trans-Canada, the old path for the train.
Okay.
I will be mm-hmm. using different hiking paths and connecting different places to others, because some of the paths do huge loops around different cities, which I would add a few days to my trip mm-hmm. here and there. So mm-hmm. I kind of created my own path. As for now, what I have planned is I have towns that I need to stop in at certain places in each province. Mm-hmm. And then the in-between days aren't necessarily planned out. So it's more from getting from A to B to C. Mm-hmm. And then the days between then will depend on how the day's going and where, you know, mm-hmm. it takes me. I need to stop in certain towns because obviously I need to check up with my brother and my family. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm going to be taking photographs and videos along the route. Right. So mm-hmm. my memory cards are going to be getting full mm-hmm. very fast. Mm-hmm. So I will be shipping out of these towns to my brother so my brother can get everything out of my backpack to make things lighter also.
Okay, so you have some kind of a backup, your brother?
Yes, my brother is going to be shipping memory cards. Well, I'm going to have boxes of different items that I'm going to need throughout the trip mm-hmm. at different distances to refurnish my stock. And at different cities, so every about 100 kilometers, I'll be stopping into a town to get my package just waiting for me and be shipping out another package back to my brother.
Okay. Are you taking a selfie?
Okay, so I am going to have a GPS tracker that's connected to a satellite. it's called Spot 3. And so my brother will be able to see the map on the internet to exactly where I am, where I'm moving to, my speed and everything. Mm-hmm. The satellite sends information in every 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So he's going to see. So for instance, if I'm stopped in a certain place for more than 3 days, then there's probably a problem or something happened, mm-hmm. you know.
3 days is a long time, though, if you get into a situation.
Yes, but this is the second part. I will have a cell phone along the way and a radio. Mm-hmm. So if anything happens, I can try calling into the radio and see if anyone's around.
Okay.
If not, the problem with the cell phone is not everywhere there'll be signals around Canada. Mm-hmm. Canada, that's why the radio is there for backup. But I will have a cell phone, and what I told my parents is every 3 or 4 days I'll be texting in, saying, you know, just seeing what, also if there's an emergency on their mm-hmm. side, but also so that my brother knows what to send for the next package
and
where am I, but they'll already know where I'm at, so.
Okay, that sounds really well researched. Now, you're going to start off in Nova Scotia, is that where you're from?
Yes. Oh, I'm not from Nova Scotia, but I will be starting off in Nova Scotia.
And you're going to walk from there to Lennoxville for your convocation.
Yes, I will. Yes, I'd like to have a photo of myself with my graduating hat and my backpack. It will be interesting. But yes, I'm going to be starting off in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. And then from there, I'll be walking into PEI, I will be taking the ferry into PEI, okay. and then crossing mm-hmm. the bridge on the other side of PEI into New Brunswick and crossing into Quebec to Lennoxville.
Pretty neat. Yes. Pretty neat. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE CJMQ 88.9 FM. Today we're talking with Melina Correll about her project as remapping and deconstructing Canada. So at the end of the walk, like what's your big goal?
So I will be attending Emily Carr, right. and it is a really well-known university for fine arts. So I will try to explore with all the information collected. I will mm-hmm. be collecting information as the temperature, the walk where I went, creating maps of different things, whether it is my physical change or mental change through the walk. Mm-hmm. Also, where I'll be eating, these kind of different things throughout, because I'm planning to stop at different farms and right. seeing what people can sell me for food-wise.
Okay.
And I wish to create some kind of touring shows with different type of maps and information about the trip mm-hmm. that would take place the next summer, and mm-hmm. I would start off in Vancouver and tour it all the way back to Nova Scotia. That's my
wow,
final
that's a
goal.
Big goal.
Yes.
Okay, now you're going to get your degree from Bishop's in art, and you're going to Emily Carr. You've done a few exchanges too. So this is very interesting. Now for your walk, you want to raise some funds, so let's talk about that.
Yes, I've as much as the trip is, you know, is just technically walking, mm-hmm. there's a lot of material needed for safety reasons and also so that it lasts the entire trip. I've always had a lot of camping equipment, but with having a trip this long and this with different temperature-wise, Canada is very big, and mm-hmm. you go from one side of Canada and the season's going to change, so I need different type of equipment also. And camping equipment is very expensive and even more expensive for a student, mm-hmm. Let's just say. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing is trying to get as much advertisement on different social media platforms. So I've built an Instagram, I have a Facebook page, but now I've also created an Indiegogo crowdfunder where people can help me out and donate, and everything helps because in the end, it's all going towards the trip and going mm-hmm. towards safety gear, food along the way, mailing back and forth boxes to my brother, but also for the project itself, which in the end I'm wishing to do a touring show across Canada.
Okay. What's the estimated cost of the trip? Do you have that?
So the estimated cost, I'm trying to raise $6,000, mm-hmm. but then for the touring art show, which will be next year, mm-hmm. would be $11,000.
Okay.
Right now, we're doing really well. Indiegogo's only been online for 3 days, and we've raised over $1,000.
Wow.
And we also have been trying to get sponsors from different companies, mm-hmm. which are geared material companies, Canadian companies, mm-hmm. my bank itself, different
right.
things like that. And so it's going quite well.
I want to talk about if somebody gives $20 or $30, they get a
yes.
picture of you. So let's talk
yes.
about if somebody gives money, what do they get?
So how the crowdfunder works is you can give either a donation or get donate for a gift. Mm-hmm. So they're called perks.
Okay.
And we've had different amounts set out with different prices. So more money you give to the cause, bigger the price will be.
Mm-hmm.
We have an amount as small as $2, which is called the student fund.
Okay.
And we understand as students, like students don't have that much money to mm-hmm. give. But mm-hmm. In the end, the price would be is if 100 students from a school gives $2.
Right.
In the end, we're going to send a thank you letter to the school with also posting it on the media saying that they have managed to fund, help me out, and mm-hmm. post their name. And then if you go up in prices, you can get a postcard, you can get a selfie photo of me from one of the mountains
okay.
or something like that. The highest price is actually I'm going to be creating a book with information of the walk, such as photographs, maps, mm-hmm. My journal, and different things like that. And a book will be signed and mailed out to you. And then it writes out what date and things like that.
Okay.
It
would That's be pretty ready. Interesting. Yeah, we want to definitely hear from you again when have your book. Yeah. Sounds like a fascinating project. What kind of reaction are you getting from your friends, from your family?
So far, it's going really well. A lot of people have... some people have sponsored already money. Others have... we've been getting a lot of people posting on Facebook, mm-hmm. sharing my links and mm-hmm. things like that. I think we've reached over 600 people on Facebook just from the links.
Yeah.
And I think over 300 people have shared my link. So mm-hmm. it's going very well.
That's fantastic. Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
I'm not too sure, but if you want to contact me or stay tuned and see what's going on, you can always go on my Instagram page mm-hmm. at melina.carell, mm-hmm. and we'll be posting photos and updates on the trip.
Okay, so that's Melina, M-E-L-I-N-A, .carell, that's Q-U-E-R-E-L. And that's Instagram?
Yes.
Okay. And Facebook. Everybody uses Facebook.
Yes. I have a Facebook page, which is called Melina Carell Artists.
Okay. Great. Okay. So that's a way to get the word out. And also if somebody gives, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people giving because they'll want to see you on this trip.
Yes. Well, I hope it goes well. And I think people will in the end, because it's like... we're a small community in Lennoxville and mm-hmm. we're all helping each other out. And I feel like when people help you in the end, you'll come back to help them out. So
good. And I think a lot of people are going to go on the trip with you vicariously too.
Yes.
And it's, you know, just definitely an inspiration for everybody to try something new.
Yes. No.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Melina, and all the best to you. All the good luck to you on your trip.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye.